Live, and we are live.
We are here Tuesday, Unfiltered Marriage.
We're back after a little break.
Not even a little break. I think it's
2 weeks off.
No, because I did the quarter end of yours.
Yeah, we did like that Thanksgiving mashup type thing.
That's right. Oh, I didn't do one last week.
And you didn't do one last week, so you were two weeks off.
I'm like getting super, super lazy about it.
She wanted to take tonight off, too. I pushed her, though.
I got
her down here.
It's not that I wanted to take it off, but I'm always wanting to have like a legitimate great stuff to talk about. I mean, I guess we kind of just roll with anything, but cheers to that.
Cheers to that, indeed.
It's been a while to us being here, I guess, by ourselves. We're missing Katie, just so she knows.
We're missing Katie dearly. Did you send our dear friend the link?
I did send our dear friend the link, and I'm hoping that she peps her step. I'd love her to just show up. We have a mixture of topics.
We got stuff. Shout out to the chat. Scotty in the chat. What's up, Scotty? Haven't heard from you in a little bit.
Yeah, and, always love when Scotty's around. Is that my Scotty?
Yeah, Scotty.
Oh, miss you, Scotty.
You know, Scotty's been going through some troubles, in the internet world, but that's like pretty much par for the course with Scotty. If he's not beefing with somebody, I don't think he's having a good day. So
it's just the internet.
Yeah, yeah. He loves to fight with people on YouTube, they love to fight with him. You know,
it's actually, you know, when you think about it, I remember doing that back in the day of MySpace or AOL.
Well, that's how me and Scotty know each other. We were at each other's throats for years.
I remember I was thrown in there a few times for no apparent reason, but that's why we became friends, because he went from a hater to a lover.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves it.
Shit. I'm sorry, Scott. I had no idea. That's terrible. He just said he lost his grandmother 2 days ago.
I'm so sorry, honey.
Yeah, absolutely. More important things, absolutely.
Sure. Sending love. I'm sorry for that.
So try to stay away from all the negativity, Scott. You don't need the extra negativity right now. Especially not right now.
And if you want to talk, you know how to hit me up. Just hit me private and we'll get through it.
That's terrible.
You got friends here in New York.
And I'm sure we got assholes over there not helping and probably saying horrific things to you. So, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that. And just try to ignore those terrible comments. And because I know Scotty's world, and trust me, there's people, Scott, I'm sure you can confirm that, you know, people have been absolute shitty to you and probably bringing up your loss in a way to use it against you. And that sucks. And, you know, when you're fighting on the internet, all's fair in love and war, but, you know, bringing up stuff like that, and I'm guilty of doing awful things in those situations. So I'm not saying I'm infallible, but I've grown since then.
Yes,
and
everybody has.
And I've made peace with literally everybody. Like, you know, everybody that beefs, whether it be Cronin, JB, Ken, Scott.
I don't know why we got a name drop. None of them belong on my show.
I know. I'm just, you know, because people know me from those things. And I'm at peace with literally everybody. There's not a single person I beef with. And I'm not in that world anymore of beefing. It's not worth it.
This is what I want to say to you, Scotty, coming from a friend of yours here. You know, when you are in situations like that, you have to remember where it's coming from. And, you know, most of the time when we pick on people or we say things, it's mostly a reflection on ourselves. And you have to stay positive and in your own vortex, in your own mind, and don't allow others to push their things on you, because that's what they do. Everybody picks on people because they don't like something about themselves. And we love you, Scotty, and that's all you need to remember. So let's get off to this.
Yeah.
Let's get off of that. And Scott, privately, you know my email. Hit me up. We'll talk, whatever, video, whatever you want
to
do.
Shout out to Opie. He just liked and retweeted these shows.
Opie's amazing. I love Opie. Yeah, and I love all his pictures. He gets beautiful pictures of the
sunsets. He's the sunset king.
And, you know, he's always outside. I'm like, wow, man, Opie's really outside a lot.
Well, he went from the city, living in the city, to now living somewhere in Hamptons. I'm not going to reveal where,
because
honestly, I don't even know where. I'm guessing somewhere around that West Hampton area from the looks of it. But he, you know, has the money to own two places. Every now and then he goes back to his apartment in New York's penthouse, I should say. And he finds mold. The last time he went there, the radiator busted. So there was like steam coming out of it, and it warped a whole bunch of shit. And like,
Why didn't he pack his stuff?
Because now it's like he's got this penthouse that you can't sell now. Like, who the hell's going to be looking for a penthouse? And he's like fucked with that thing.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. Because when he got it, I'm sure he was like, hey, great, I'm in Manhattan, I'm in a penthouse. His view is gorgeous. Like, he would do videos and stuff. And I mean, he's a multi-radio millionaire. And now, though, you know, I even said to him, I was like, dude, you're in such a bad spot because you have this multi-million dollar apartment.
There's a lot of people in that position right now that moved to the city because it was, they didn't have to worry about having a car. It was quick and easy. Everything's right there, you know, in the city. That's where I want to be. And now everybody's rushing to move out to the island.
He's always been an island boy, though. He's from out here. He lived out here. And then once they got picked up in New York, that's when he lived in the city because, I mean, travel-wise, you know, Anthony used to go from, like, far out Nassau. Like, you know, it'd be like a maybe a half hour,
yeah,
not
even. I don't even care.
No, I'm just explaining, though.
Yeah.
It would be like maybe a half hour ride for a long ride in the morning to get to the studio, but usually like 20 minutes. But for Opie, it's just a quick taxi ride.
Right.
And it was convenient for him. But he always said, you know, I want to live not in the city. You know,
yeah.
It's
even for us, though, we're on the island and we're looking to move out of just New York because of how now suffocated and bulky and crazy it's getting down here. We're looking to move out to the country. You know, like it's as you get older, I think your patience for a lot of people and their bullshit runs really thin.
And once he had kids too, you know, raising kids in the city, I'm sure is just a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much to worry about and there's so much, you know, riffraff going on out there that, you know, you can't really say, hey, go outside and play.
No,
you know,
can't.
That's not like really a thing. So he always wanted to be out here, and now he's got this house on the beach, and I'm sure he's just happy as a pig and shit. He finally got a dog.
Happy dog hunting.
Yeah, he's living the normal life out here, but he's stuck with this fucking thing out in the city that I'm sure every day he's like, just I wish I could just fucking be done with it.
Well, hopefully, you know, within the next year or so, things start to pick back up and things start to go to any type of normal. Doesn't have to be the same, but any type of normal with this new shutdown. It's pretty crazy how people are even dealing and able to be positive, you know, because everybody's stuck in their house or in their situation and jobs and money and Christmas and holidays. It's just not the same.
I think this thing, though, also, like, either went one or two ways with people. Like, either you started going crazy and, like, depression kicks in and stuff like that, or people started appreciating more what they have, who they're with. When I was watching Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle was on, Chappelle brought up this great point. He goes, COVID kind of made you realize and made you question the choices you've made in life. Am I happy with the house I have? Am I happy with the partner I choose? Because you've been stuck with them.
Right.
You've been stuck in your house.
There's nothing else in your way now.
Am I happy with the way I raise my kids? And, you know, me thinking of all those questions, I answered all of them. Absolutely. Like, my whole goal with my house was to make it the way I want it so I don't have to leave it. And I've pretty much accomplished that. Like, there's really not much in my house that I can add to where I'm like, I need that now. Like a PlayStation 5, I'm like, I want it, but like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, but everything else, I have an arcade, pinball, we got the movie area, my kids have everything imaginable. I can't be happier with my life partner. Like, you know, literally there's zero fighting going on and we're stuck with each other 24/7. I haven't been working, so I'm home constantly. She's home. And when she's not inside, she's working from home. So either way, we're with each other pretty much 24 hours a day, and people always ask us, doesn't it? And we're like, no, it doesn't bother us at all, and we're fine.
I feel like, for the most part, in most relationships or in work atmosphere, you don't really focus on it because there was so much going on. But now, there is nowhere to go. You can't go out with your friends. You can't go to the movies. You can't go to dinner. You can't go to Christmas parties with your office. You can't do all these things. So now you're stuck just focusing on the little that you have. And your family, which should be most important, is where you're starting to either progress or regress.
My brother-in-law actually just gave us a popcorn machine like 2 weeks ago. That's funny you ask.
Yeah, I mean, the house legit is off the chain. He's planning on getting me a ski bowl table, and then I'm getting it. I want a pool table, and we're in.
And once we got together and left behind the going out life and all that stuff, like, that's what you find a partner for, is to be with that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, if you're not in that same situation, like, neither one of us are like, man, I wish we can go out and, like, to the bar, or like, that's not the light. Like, we're like, I wish we can go out to eat or go to a movie.
Yeah,
but that's still
used to be our thing.
Together, you know, like, everything is together, and there's none of this, like, you know, I can't explain it. It's just, you know, I'm very blessed with what I have here. Like, I couldn't have worked out better for me.
Well, thanks.
Because even the kids, though, like, my kids aren't shitty kids. They're not bad kids.
No,
they're well behaved. I mean, they're kids, of course, so there's moments, but for the most part, they don't bother me. They're not annoying kids. They're not needy. They're not None of that shit. All my kids are very self-sufficient children, other than the fact that, you know, Valentina maybe needs us to get her a glass of milk or...
Yeah.
But she's five, so right. You understand that. But my son, he could go all day without being like, hey, Dad, can you help me with this? Or, you know, it's
most
just the way
time,
it is.
Most of the time, like, Lou, you in there?
You know? Yeah.
No, and Anna, too. Like, Anna, what are you doing? You know, she's 21 now. I feel like, again, it gets down to that moment of... You know, when we decided to be together, you know, 8 years ago, it was, we've already worked in the clubs, been out. I mean, we lived in Long Island and New York, so, you know, we had the dopest clubs. We were in that scene until I was 26 is when I...
When I was 19...
27.
When I was 19, I got thrown into the club scene, and I didn't get thrown into... here's some shitty little ding. I got thrown into the number one club. On Long Island, Neptune's Beach Club. It's a summer place.
Yeah.
It was only open during the summer. I was a barback. I was 19. And, you know, you ask anybody or just look it up. Look up Neptune Beach Club. There would be 4,000 people rocking the deck every Saturday, every Sunday. We'd have fucking the biggest DJs from, you know, Danny Tenaglia to you name it. We had everybody there. And Boris, you know, crazy place. And this was my first foray. I didn't even really go to clubs. And it was like, boom, now you're in this scene.
Well, you're not a dancer.
Yeah, no, thugs don't dance. But thugs from 19 dance. To about 23, that was my job. Yeah. When the summer ended, I worked at this other place, Brazil, which the winter spot, Brazil, was bananas. The line would be wrapped around the fucking building.
Yep.
Again, it was one of the biggest nightclubs.
So weird. We've never actually, in those times, Rocky and I know we knew each other through people, but in those times, we've never actually interacted. And I worked at the other biggest club, which was CPI's, and I was one of the go-go dancers, you know, behind the performers, or I would be up in those cages you'd see.
See, like CPI, though, was CPI, it was huge, but CPI was Long Island crowd.
Yes.
The clubs I worked at was people from the city who had. Had houses.
Well, yeah, in the Hamptons, totally different people. Than CPIs.
Yeah, like the CPI, like the crowd that I was with and all the people that I hung out with out there, we looked at CPI as like, we don't go there because it was the Long Island people that went to CPI. It wasn't.
And see, I never went to Neptune's. I'm like, I won't go there with all those fucking.
Because it was all Guido's, Jersey, New York City.
Yeah.
But it was money.
Yeah.
Like, we would have Bentleys, Ferraris, Lamborghinis in our parking lot. Like, it was money. But. So that's why I think we never crossed paths.
Don't downplay my place.
I'm not. No, I'm totally not. It was packed every night, and it was definitely a moneymaker, but it was different crowds. And then when we went out, CPI again was like, we know the crowd that's going to be there.
You're going to see people you know.
CPI was more of a riffraff crowd, where it was like more of like...
Can you shut that a little? Now I'm really regretting it. Like, fucking nipples are rock hard right now.
CPI, while they would play the house and the dance, they would also play hip-hop.
Yeah.
And the places I went to, they didn't really do that. Like, we would go to Turtle Bay Beach Bar, stuff like that. And it was just very different scenes. So, like, you were in that other scene, and I was in this other scene. So
which is good for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it probably would have ruined us to see each other then.
And I agree. Like, us back then, we probably would have hooked up, and it just would have been a hookup.
Right.
You know, and then it would have ruined everything we have now.
Right.
So it definitely was for the best, but... Yeah, I was.
Well, we lived it. So back to what we were saying.
But back to what I was saying. After doing the club scene for 4 years and working in it every night and being in it, I had my fill. And I was like, I don't want to go out. People are like, let's go to the club. I'm like, no. Why not? Why? Because I worked there for 4 fucking years and I hate the club.
Yeah.
I hate the people in the club. I hate the atmosphere. I hate everything about it. Unless I'm making money there, I don't want to be there.
And although you guys see him sometimes have a beer here, Rocky does not really drink. So to have him have a beer on the show is great, but he doesn't drink. So for all that you don't know me, I was also on the APA Pool League. And I played pool. I was at 8-ball or whatever. And I would go to different bars, 3 or 4 bars in a week, and compete. I almost went to Vegas. I have plaques. So I was in the bar scene for years. Besides my parents owning a bar for 25 years, I was always out. And when we came, it was like, this is what we're going to do now. So let's just focus here. And without all the outside distraction, we have completed a compound of just love, respect, and foundation. Other people who are out, you know, this and out that, and couples who still did separate doing this, separate doing that, there's always a distraction. There's always a way.
But those people also want to destroy what we have because they look at it and go, they're happy. Fuck that. I'm not happy. And even if, you know, people are, and I'm throwing up air quotes for the brand listeners who can't see us, even for the people who claim they're happy, there a lot of people aren't. And, you know, that goes to my settler thing, whatever. You've heard me talk about that ad nauseum. But they don't like seeing something like me and Jess. And I'm not saying it everybody's like that. But people just, there's always some kind of way of, like, trying to get in the middle of it or trying to hurt it or trying to destroy it somehow for whatever reasons they had, who the fuck knows. But that was another reason for us to get away from everything, because we would run into those types of people and, you know, they would be in my ear, you know about this, or this, and they would get in her ear and you know about this. And it's like, why are you doing that? Like, get the fuck out of here. We're happy. Right. Leave us the fuck alone. We don't care what happened back then. That's not when we were together.
Right.
Like, I don't give a shit if she fucking, you know, murdered somebody when we weren't together. That's the past. The past is the past. But some people just want to ruin other people's
good thing. Today we allowed that outside influence, I think that if today, even 8 years in, people would still go, but did you know this? And you'd go, yeah, bro. You know, or I'd go, yeah, I've heard. You know, we always have that. In the interim, though, getting back to what we were saying, you know, in this pandemic, in this situation where everybody's on lockdown, you're forced to focus on yourself and your home, your atmosphere. So your kids, your husband, your wife, your parents, or whatever is going on. And if you weren't happy then, you're definitely not happy now.
Well, the older people get to and they realize, well, this is, it's not going to change, because for one, you're older and you're pretty much stuck in your ways. When you get to our age, it's very hard to change who you are or your habits or whatever. So now that realization also hits them and goes, fuck.
Well, especially if you're not honest.
Yeah.
You have to be honest with yourself. This is my thing.
In your head, though, in your own head, not speaking it out loud, everybody's honest with themselves. It's admitting it and accepting it. And that's the thing that people don't want to do, because once you admit and accept, that means you now have to some way either verbalize it or physically do something to now start making changes, which will tell people I've lost.
Right.
Like, I've lost that what I was doing isn't the right way or isn't working. And, you know, they're going to see that. And now I'm admitting defeat in a way.
I guess so, but also most people, I'd have to say most, because there's only a handful that I know of that are brutally honest. Most people like to believe that they are something they are not. You know, like, I am the great wife. I cook, I clean. But then you find out they don't give up with sex, or they don't, you know, there's always something that they're not completing to have that complete connection between two people. Like, I was telling my friends, who, of course, everybody has opinions, you know, right now Rocky is home and I'm still working, you know, part-time in my salon by my house and stuff. But when I'm out there, I come in, my kids are fed, my house is clean, the laundry is done, the bed is made. There's never a moment I go, you know, you need to do this. Or never a moment he goes, I'm not doing this, I'm a guy. We are a unit. So, you know, for 8 years, I laid back and he didn't have to worry about home. And now when I'm out, I don't have to worry about home. And it's just something we do. There's never supposed to be a segregation of you're the woman, you cook. I've come into dinner on the table. I've come home to sushi ready to go. There's just...
I didn't make it. I ordered.
No, yeah. But you said you took the initiative. You ordered what I like. You had it ready for me. You know, and that was after a long day of work and being out by my mom's and a long drive home. And I come home to what he knows I need. So when you're in these relationships that there is not getting what you need, but you've been distracted for so long and now you can only focus here, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who are fidgeting right now.
Well, a lot of people, too, they can't put on the facade, because you would go out and interact with friends or other couples and you could pretend we're happy. We're so happy. But behind the scenes, you're miserable. You're fighting all the time. But for that 2-3 hours out, the pretending to be happy maybe opens that window or shines a little light of what used to be.
Right.
And maybe it helps keep you together and sustain the relationship, because you see that there is happiness still with us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even though I don't want to say they're faking it or pretending it out, it's more of like it kind of is, but it isn't, in a way of, we do like each other. It's just sometimes we forget it. And now, you know, we have to put on the show, but it's not fully a show. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's very hard to explain.
Feel those feelings again, yeah, because people get distracted, so they forget, or they don't put in the effort they put in, you know, when they first started being together. You know, there's always a conscious effort of, I need to do this or I need to do that. You know, I'll use myself. It's super easy for me to do. But, you know, I was working, and I had come in one night, and I was just like, I feel I'm about to be 40. I feel old. I feel like I look like shit, and I don't even know. And you took a moment, not even, before you looked at me and went, rewind, honey. First of all, you're absolutely beautiful. Second of all, what can I do to help make you feel better? That was your first sentence. And I was like, well, actually, there's nothing you can do to help me feel better. But you saying that is all the help that I needed. People kind of forget how to take care of each other because they're so busy.
Because they're wrapped up in themselves.
In their own self.
And they forget that we're a team, we're a unit, and they go, well, that's your fucking problem.
Right.
Like there's couples that we know that go out and play the role of, we're the happiest couple ever, but behind the scenes, they're one fight away from divorce.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they will never let that show. And I look at that and go, then just get divorced.
Right.
Like, that's not living happy. That's living miserably.
Well, it's not fair to one either wants or the other one doesn't, or one doesn't know what the other one's thinking. Again, it goes back down to honesty.
And it's a pride thing, too. There's a lot of pride people out there that aren't willing to, A, admit their faults, or B, admit shit's not good right now. And once you do that, you go, well, we fucked up somewhere.
Right.
You know, we're not. Yeah.
We, as always, it has to be a unit. It's not like you are the one. It's like, well, we, because when you stop, I stop, I stop, you stop. But if you don't start, I don't start. It's always a competition. And that's where I think people have a lot of problems.
And that's the thing. I said we, and a lot of people won't say we. They point fingers.
Yeah.
It's easier to point the finger and go, I'm not the problem. They're the problem. And this is the list of things that their problems are.
Right.
Instead of going, yeah, they have a list, but I have a list too.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
I'm not the same person I used to be. And, you know, sometimes even myself, there's times where I go, all right, I'm not putting the full effort, or I'm not doing what I did 5 years ago. And it's hard to sustain that because you get in that comfort zone and you get comfortable with the person. And it's very easy to just be like, hey, we made it this far. I don't need to try that hard anymore. And I'm not saying you still need to try 100% like when you're first dating, but there still should be some of those little things that you did when you first started dating, you know. Even the easiest thing, ready? Pretty much every single day, there's not a day that goes by where I don't remind Jessica of how beautiful I think she is. And a lot of people go, ugh, how gross, and ugh. But to a woman who...
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's such an easy thing for me to do. And it's easy because she is, you know. It's not like I have to lie about it either, though. So for some people, I understand your wife let themselves go or whatever. And they're not the same person they were 10 years ago, and the attraction's not there. But still, if you want to be in that relationship, just saying that makes a huge difference to a woman. Like, people don't understand, well, men don't understand how the littlest thing of just saying, you look beautiful today, baby, or that outfit's really cute, you look great, you really make that hair look good, or whatever the case may be, that one tiny thing can turn their whole day around.
Completely.
And bring them from, you know, feeling like shit or feeling down on themselves, and them just going, all right, someone said it to me. They verbalized it, and now I heard it, and wow,
and
that's great.
Not just somebody, though, my husband. So, like, again, you're together for a certain amount of years. You feel like you've looked at me every day. You look at me every night, every morning, and I'm guilty of it where I'll wake up and go, fuck, I'm going to be 40. I've had 3 kids. I'm no spring chicken. Yeah, I'm thin and I'm fit, but does he still love me, or am I still sexy? Every woman goes through that moment. You know, it's not even, I could have the most secure, and I do, a great relationship, but as a woman, him knowing, let me just, oh, he just looks at me most of the time. He's just like, wow, you look really cute, you little space buns. That little noticing me, you know, made a difference. And the same goes for him. You know, I mean, he's getting up there too at his age, and he's not also a spring chicken, and he's not boxing it as much as he would work out. So I always look at him, I'm like, man, you're so hot, you know? And it's just we don't even think of it. It's unconscious. It just comes out because, though, we
And not just to use the looks thing, you know.
No,
like, you
I,
know,
I'm
I don't
saying,
want to,
no.
But it's an example
Man,
of.
Man, you really screwed that light bulb in good, babe.
No, but like, and then there'll be times where she'll like be getting down and I'll get aggressively like angry with her. I'll be like, shut the fuck up. I'll be like, no, you're not. Shut the fuck up. And yeah, maybe I shouldn't be aggressively mad, but it also lets her see that what you're saying is so stupid that, you know, I'm actually getting pissed off because what I see is beautiful, and then for you to sit there and pick on yourself is just crazy to me.
Self-image
shut the fuck up.
Motherfucker.
Like my daughter, I'm the same way with her. You know, my daughter's beautiful. She's gorgeous. And she'll come in and be like, dance, dance. And I look at her and I go, shut the fuck up. And then she'll hear her mother do it, and she'll say what I say to her, and then I look at her and go, see? So now you see what I see. Like when you do that to yourself,
right.
Or when Anna does it and you go to Anna and you say, and I look at the both of you and I go, see? So when you say it about yourself, the reaction you're giving to her is how I feel when I look at you. You know what I mean? Like, and that kind of wakes them up too of like, all right, maybe I shouldn't be so hard on my, like it.
There's no reason. And
there isn't. And like women just have that issue to begin with. It's just ingrained in women because especially in America, you're expected to be beautiful. You're expected to be perfect. And it's just the way it is. So any slight negativity you find in yourselves, which you fish for them half the time, it's not even like a real thing. You emphasize that and you fucking hone in on that and just focus on that one tiny little minuscule thing and turn it into a mountain.
Fucking daybreaker. A daybreaker for me could be waking up to a pimple.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this thing's in the middle of my forehead. Or you always get it on the tip of your nose. I'm like, how am I going to food shop with this stupid thing on my nose, right? And here comes my daughter walking in going, Mom, I don't even see anything. And then not a day later, she walks in and goes, oh my God, this pimple. And I'm like, really, Anna, you can't even notice it. And then we both realize that as what we look at is not really the first thing that people are looking at. Blemishes come and go. It is what it is.
But also, I look at it as a male, for one, and an outsider looking in on you two doing that, going, do you know how many women would murder to be where you guys are at? Like, neither one of you have to try to be in the shape you're in. Like, yeah, Anna worked out for a little bit. But
I eat very
no,
good.
No, I know,
you know,
I know. But
I take vitamins and drink
I'm not
it,
saying
you know,
that, you know, you don't watch yourself. But what I mean is that you have good genetics where it
yes.
comes a lot easier to stay thin, to stay in shape,
right.
to have a good body, to have clear skin, to have all that stuff. You really don't. There's girls that work on it ad nauseum, and they still can't reach that goal.
Yes, but you're also talking about, you know, I didn't. Always, though, I was a heavy set pimple faced kid up until about 18 years old. I then consciously made changes to be this. And then after three children, you know, like I just made a conscious effort to give you what you
like you are.
Came
and
for.
For lack of a better example, because you weren't ugly. I'm not going to say that, but you were like the ugly duckling. You know what I mean?
Was.
Where like, you know, when you were younger, it wasn't easy for you. You know, you had a little bit of extra weight. You weren't fat. You had a little bit of extra weight. You know, I don't remember the acne because I didn't really know you like that. But once you hit a certain age, you blossomed into this beautiful woman that everybody's jaw hits the floor when they see you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
but changes inside.
That's why I also look at it and go, how can you not appreciate it even more? Because you were on that other side of the fence where you would get made fun of or people would pick on you. And now those same people making fun of you and picking on you would give their right arm to fucking have one night with you.
I agree. And you're right. But even still, even though my physical, I still have... We are conditioned humans where we have these insecurities. You know, you look all over the place. People are airbrushed or fucking have a makeup girl following them 24/7. And here I'm going, oh my God, my forehead is wrinkly. I got, you know, crow's feet from smiling. You know, you look at these things and go, fuck, why can't I have a Botoxed face? But then again, I don't want to inject.
Like you literally
face.
Have no makeup on right now
I
except
nothing,
your lipstick.
I have nothing
you put
but
lipstick on.
You
just, and zero makeup, and you look amazing. Most people would not come on camera like that. They would have to be done up to the nines and, you know, make sure in the mirror for an hour and a half before they got on camera and did what we're doing. You just went in the shower.
I'm in my pajamas, actually, for everybody
in your pajamas,
know.
Threw your hair up, and that was it. Came down, and you still look amazing.
Well,
so,
thank you. I appreciate that. You're already going to get laid tonight.
Well, yeah.
let's roll into tradition, because you had me watch this hysterical movie before we came downstairs.
Christmas with the Coopers on Amazon Prime.
It was so funny. It's pretty much a home video, a kid and people pass around the camera all day between this.
It's very, like a found footage comedy.
Yeah, very, very real family atmosphere, and funny shit happens. And I looked and I was like, you know, we should pick up a camcorder and possibly just every once in a while snap around with the kids and start to take videos. You know, we don't – everybody uses their phone these days. Nobody really has these home videos. Like, my mom doesn't have home videos of us when we were kids. But before that, it was all that they would do. It was like home videos. Was that the 70s?
This movie was set in 1985. So, you know, cameras
so
81, were –
I guess my parents didn't
want to. There was always the – the Super 8s back in the like the 70s and 60s, my father and his family, I have old videos from like the 50s.
Yeah.
Those DVDs go from like the 50s to the very early 80s.
Yeah.
And they don't even have sound because back then to get sound, you had to like carry a microphone around to get sound. So they would just film. And we watch all these old videos and it's crazy to see because like I said, it's the 50s, 60s and 70s and then very, very early 80s. I wasn't even born yet. And I was born in 82. But in the 80s is when, like, the real, like, camcorder came out that had the microphone attached to it, that had the bright light attached to it, but they were gigantic. They were huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, people started taking videos and everything. Like, my Aunt Lou, I know she has some old videos that I'm on, but who the hell knows where they are? And, you know, I think she brought up a few years ago.
We can look at pictures all day, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe if we did it now, even if we did it for a year or 2 years, just to have something to send to the kids, like, this day you all will jerk jobs, you know what I mean? Or whatever, go on a vacation like we did camping and just have the camera. It would be cool to have, you
and
know?
And doing it on your phone is, it means nothing because you do it on your phone and then you never
just
look
leave
at
it there.
It because... Like, it's just like, oh, I have it, so let me do it. So, like, the phone stuff, I have a million pictures on my phone, and they're all, I love all of them. If I lost my phone, you know, I would be kind of annoyed because they're the evolution of my children. And I'm not really a backup cloud person. I know it's easy to do, but for some reason, I just don't do it. But when you have the hard copy, a video cassette, or, you know, whatever the case may be,
it's something
different.
To have forever.
Yeah, and it's something that you pick up every now and then, and you go, oh, let's look at this from, you know, 15 years ago or 10 years ago.
Like, I think about that. I'm like, I wish I had videos with, like, my mom and dad and also on Christmas morning and shit like that. Like, it's just not like that anymore.
I barely have pictures from I have pictures from when I was very young till about, like, maybe 9 or 10. And then from there, there's a handful of pictures from my teenage years. And then that's really it. Like, there's not really a lot.
Right.
Of what I have as far as, you know, my past and all that stuff. We just weren't big picture takers and weren't big. You know, my mom was busy working, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't really like that with my family because, for one, my brother sucked. And it's true, though. And even when we went on vacations, it was to, like, Texas to go visit my aunt. It wasn't like we went to Disney World or it wasn't like we went to... I went to Disney World once with my mother and Universal once.
Right.
Those are probably the two biggest vacations we ever did. Every other vacation was to go visit somebody somewhere.
Right.
So for me, it was like, fuck, I'm going here and I'm going to be stuck here. Like, that's kind of how it was. In Texas, it was all right because I had lived there and made friends. So when I would go there, I would also go and then visit friends, especially once I was older and they were driving. I would get to Texas, call my buddy, hey, come pick me up. And then it would be like I was home in New York,
right.
Except now I'm in Texas rolling around with my friends out there. So, again, yeah, I'm getting away, but I'm really not doing anything different that I wasn't doing at home.
Did you wear cowboy boots and a hat?
Never.
Oh, fuck.
Never.
The worst. I need to see you in cowboy boots and a hat.
No.
I just sent you the next thing so you could bring it up after. I think that when I look at pictures from what my mom does have, I get super upset. And I'm like, why? Why? If you look at me from the 80s or the 90s and then you look at girls now, I'm like, why did you let me dress this way or wear that? You know, because back then it was like you wore clothes that your parents fucking gave you to wear.
Yeah.
Now it's like, you need to take me to, you know, Abercrombie. It's really different now than it was back then. And, you know.
Because back then it was this. Our parents were much different. It was a different time. And parents today are way different in you have a choice. Back then, our parents was, this is what you have.
Yeah, wear it.
That's it. You're wearing it.
Right.
Or you're eating it. Or you're going. Or
right.
With our kids, it's like, I don't want to wear this. It's like, Then what do you want to wear? Let's find some. And then, like, even Valentina, right. She's five, and she'll be like, I'm not wearing this. And it turns into this whole thing of her trying to find something that she wants. And even with her, she's got a million options. All of our kids have a million options. We didn't have a million options.
I had two drawers of clothes. Yeah. You know, I had one to two pairs of sneakers. You know, now it's like these kids have piles of shoes and sneakers and jackets and scarves. And I legit look and go, you don't want to wear it? Then pick your own fucking outfit.
But like, we're also willing to compromise. Our parents were very, and it was that way for generations. It kind of started with our generation of, we'll compromise with you. You
right.
know what I mean? We'll all right, let's, because we want to make our kids happy. And our happiness was priority back then, but it wasn't mandatory.
What?
Like, for us, our kids' happiness is mandatory. And if we were not happy, our parents would be like, oh, well.
No, we'll get in the fucking car.
Yeah, don't care. Shut up.
Right.
Get in the car.
Yeah,
you're a kid.
I look at that now, too, and I go, you know, the options between our children, you know, the what they wear, their haircuts, you know, those things, I like for them to have a little freedom of who they are and how they would like to dress. I mean, of course, my 21-year-old, I have to say, why don't you put on, you know, something a little bit. She's very just, you know, hoodies, sweatshirts, this and that. I want them to have their own and be in their own. That's the only thing they can control right now is what their hair looks like and what their clothes look like. When they get out into the world, you know, they can control whatever they want. But here in my house, you know, that's the freedom they have. You know, my parents and I never had that freedom. I couldn't cut my hair. I was never allowed to cut my hair. And I shaved my hair off in a fit of now you can't pull it. And I, you know, there's no doubt about it. My parents were not easy. And my dad was a physical man. If we were out of line, I mean, we grew up in the 80s and he was a Puerto Rican Italian. So, you know, I was, you're going to grab my hair. And I shaved my hair off and thinking, I got him. I shaved it off. And my hair was strawberry blonde. It was almost to my butt. And I walked out with my hair and I'm like, I've shaved it. And he looked at me and he said, well, now you got to fucking go to school like that. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
He's right. You know, it was always an identity. I want to be myself. So with them, I like to give them that freedom to be, you know, themselves.
My mother used to cut my hair. I remember we got the buzzers and I was like, whatever, you know. And then once I grew my hair out and we did the half shave thing, it was a lot easier because it was just like, all right, just shave half my head and yeah. underneath and that's that. So I didn't really have a need for barbers. And the skaters back then, we were sloppy kids. Like, we didn't give a fuck about it. As long as the shave is fine, it is what it is because our hair's long and whatever. I knew kids that fucking peroxide their head
right.
and their hair was fried. And that's what we just were that type of way. Once I started driving and I had friends that worked in the barbershops, Dougie, mm-hmm. Pat, you know, Richie became one. It became priority. Like, I was there religiously every week, get my hair cut. I had to look fresh all the time. I had to have my beard edged up. Even when I had my stupid chin strap, everything had to be fresh. Because, for one, I need to look good. I'm going to look for chicks. You know what I mean? I never know when I'm going to be in a situation where chicks are going to be around, and I got to be fresh. So haircuts always became huge for me. Now I'm kind of subsiding back to it where I'm like, eh, whatever. Now I just go there. I'm like, Rich, just clean my beard up and whatever with
my
hair.
I like to pull your hair.
Yeah, well, and I want it more grown out anyway. I don't really get the fade thing anymore. I don't do none of that shit. So it's very simple. Like, I walk in there and what do you want? I'm like, just clean me up. And he just does the edges.
Yeah.
But he always makes sure the beard's right because he knows that's my main
thing. Yeah, otherwise you turn into a bear.
Yeah, yeah. But even with that, like, I don't shave myself ever. I don't shave.
No.
I never shave. I get Richie to do it. And for a week, I won't do anything, or 2 weeks. And then when I go to him, he cleans me up again. And it is what it is. But I have not shaved my own face in years at this point.
Sorry.
I hate doing it, too. It's just annoying. But I can't shave off the beard.
Well, Richie's amazing, actually. Like, he's just really good at that. You never get nicks. You never have bumps. You never have... He does exactly what looks great on your face. He knows exactly how your back, neck, and hairline should look. Like, it's just something about his craft.
Well, he's been doing it for 20 years, though. He's been working on my head for...
Customary, yeah. though, he is to each client. But, like, with you, if you cut the back hairline wrong, you have swirls all over.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what to do, and that's
why... When he first started cutting my hair, in the back of my head, I have this weird... It's not like a... I guess it's a swirl. I can't really see it. And when my hair's shorter, he would have such trouble getting it even. I remember he'd be on the back of my head for like 5 years. He'd be like, dude, the back of your fucking head sucks.
Yeah.
And now that it's grown out, he doesn't really have to worry about it. But also, you know, I'm his best friend. So I know, like, when I go in there, I don't look at it when he's done.
Frank Mandukas.
He doesn't bring up the mirror and put a, like, I just get up. And I trust him that he did what he should do. And he did the best to his ability because it's me.
Yeah.
It's not just some fucking jerk off that he doesn't know. You know, and he doesn't want to send me out there looking like an idiot.
Sure.
And it just is what it is. But probably for 10, 15 years, even with Dougie, I would be like, dude, put the mirror down. I trust you. Like, they would instinctually pick it up.
Yeah, because you do. You show because, the back.
You know, with every other customer. And finally, after years of me going, dude, I don't need, I trust you. I believe you that it's good. Just let me get up and let's keep it moving. I would hate it when I'd be in there and I would see the guy, can you fix this up? And it's this ugly motherfucker that it doesn't matter anyway. He's like, can you just, this looks a little, and I'm looking at him going, shut the fuck up and get out of here. Like, fuck you, get out of here. They know what they're doing. You're a moron.
Right.
Beat it, bro.
This is their job.
Like, I would get mad for them looking at this guy. I remember one time this guy for like 10 minutes kept getting up and sitting back down. Can you just fix it? Just fix it. And in my head, I'm going, the patience you have to not just fucking punch this guy in the back of the head and be like, get the fuck
out
of my
industry, chair. In our industry, that's what we deal with. I've had a few people go, are these even here in the front? And I would look at them and go, yeah, they're even. But you have people like that, you know, he's good. So anyway, pretty much back to how did we get onto haircuts?
I don't know how we got there, but let's talk about this guy. This guy decided to scare his boss every day until he got fired, which I think is absolutely hilarious.
It's a really funny story. I'll post it on Twitter when we're done.
He purposely, obviously, wanted to get fired. So he went at it probably the best way I've ever heard of anyone doing anything. And it's also posted on TikTok, apparently. I don't know what the guy's name is. Let me see if I can find it if you're a TikToker. I don't see it here.
I'm going to post it Twitter, JRabbit55. Twitter? Is that my
jet? Yeah, JRabbit55. So he starts off with the classic hide behind the door frame and jump out, giving his boss a little fright. Then the next one, he goes on to dress as a T-Rex, which gets a little laugh, but you can tell his boss is starting to get sick of it. Then he progresses. He gets himself a portable confetti cannon. Then he starts to create contraptions to make his boss jump, including attaching a balloon to the back of the door with a sharp object stuffed to the wall, so when he opens it, it pops. Posting it on TikTok, posting his videos on TikTok, anything for them likes. He even asked people for ideas for how to really piss off his boss. One person commented on his post one day, say, get a Bluetooth speaker, put it under his table, then play the song I Feel Good and see his reaction. It's at this stage it became clear that this lad's weary boss is either a broken man, his nervous system has gone, or he has just been completely desensitized to loud noises. The guy didn't flinch. After jumping out of the modified chair, he says in the most, in almost a growl, I fucking hate you. Day 15, 15 days this went on. That's amazing.
That is hysterical.
The fact, though, that this boss didn't fire him is credit to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, most bosses wouldn't tolerate this.
He's got some pretty thick skin there.
He called the employee a fucking asshole. On day 16, instead of reining it in, he goes all out by blowing a mini leaf blower in his boss's face as he enters the room. It's clear that he's reaching breaking point. In the next video, likely to show either him, a nervous wreck on the floor, or the beginning of a homicide case. Instead, he just announces he decided he's had enough, saying he's going to go home. The boss fucking went home. That's crazy. So it doesn't say that the guy ever ended up getting fired.
But he was just trying, doing whatever he could to get fired, which is hysterical that, I mean, after the first or second time, I'd be like, you know what? Pull that shit again. You're going to be fired. And then they'd get fired. But he just kept on. He probably wanted him to quit.
It looks like, I look at that and go, how'd that guy make it to the boss level? Because he's got no balls. Like, I would never tolerate that from one of my employees as a boss. Like, I'd be like, dude, you need to respect me. I'm your fucking boss.
Right.
This shows zero respect. It's showing everyone in the office you don't respect me.
Right.
That you can just walk all over me. Like, it's a shitty position for the boss. Because
how funny, though, that T-Rex, he jumped out in that little T-Rex suit. I think it's funny. I mean, you know, I don't have a boss. I'm my own boss.
Most bosses suck, though. Like, most bosses, like, I was a good boss. I didn't really, you know, act that way. Most bosses take it, and they just love that power trip and love just being able to be shitty to people and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
Where I was the complete opposite. I never wanted to make the people that worked for me feel bad, feel shitty. Even when they fucked up or did something wrong, I would never raise my voice, or I would talk to them and be like, what happened? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck happened?
Right.
Like, more like concern and not anger. Because you don't know what day they're having. You don't know what's going on at home for them. And I would even ask them. I'd be like, is something going on outside of here? You don't need to tell me,
but
you know,
say,
what's going on.
I'm a little wrapped up.
But,
sure.
You know, maybe there's something I don't know about that, you know, your focus isn't here or whatever. But let's figure it out. Where a lot of bosses would be like, are you fucking stupid? What the fuck is wrong with
you? A lot of it's control. You know, I'm the boss. I'm in control. You know, you do what I say kind of thing.
Those bosses suck. And if you're one of those bosses, fuck you. Like, you just suck. And no, people are only working off of fear, and they don't respect you. They fear you. And in an office or work atmosphere, that's a shitty way to have to work as the lower person on the totem pole. Like, they're never happy going into work. They're always on edge. They don't know what's going to be the next thing that you fucking flip out over.
Right.
And I've been in that position with those type of bosses, and it fucking blows. Like, it just sucks. And, you know, if you're in that situation, try to find something better. Get out of there. There's always something else. You don't have to put up with that shit. You really don't.
No.
There's so many other places you can go to. And I've been there where you're, like, comfortable, and you're set in your ways. But get out of your comfort zone and leave that fucking miserable place
you're
in.
Everybody deserves to be treated with respect, no matter what level you are and whatever, you know. And I think it's important for us all to put our best foot forward at this hard time that's going on. And
but when you work for someone like that, you're doing the bare minimum not to get fired. You're not motivated to want to do good for your boss.
Exactly.
You're motivated just to do enough so your boss doesn't yell at you.
He's going to hate me anyway.
Yeah. Right? But if you have people that are happy at work and want to be there and want to better the place that they're at, those people are more motivated than the angry, pissed off person. The angry, pissed off person is like, fuck this place. Fuck this person. I don't give a fuck about them. And fuck it. Like, who cares? Whatever. I'll do my job and I'll do it so I don't get fired. But that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go above and beyond, and I'm not going to fucking go out of my way to try to make this place better.
And nobody ever wants to wake up and go, oh, I wonder if I'm going to get fucking fired today.
Yeah. And a lot of people do wake up and have those type of situations and work in those type of places. And if you do, there's a better place out there. Find it.
But you'll never be able to find it if you stay where you are.
Yeah.
Step out. I'm going to close with this because we're almost at the end anyway. And
we did 45 minutes. We're good.
Yeah, we're pretty good. I want to say that, you know, I know some of you and I love you all, of course, the new people. I don't know you, so I'm sending you love. If we could just try to remember that everybody has their own situation and, you know, be the person that you wish to see, I believe, because we're a reflection of everything we put out there. And, I hope everybody has an amazing week, and we will see you next Tuesday.
If you do a show. If not, Unfiltered Marriage, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
If we don't do a show next Tuesday, we will not be speaking to you before the Christmas holidays. So.
But we will speak to you after. I'll probably do a show. Let's just see how the week goes. I mean, if it doesn't go to Realm, I usually get lazy. So.
Yeah. Well, but, Super Ugly will be there next week, so you guys will definitely hear from me because I'm always fucking there. But that's it. We're going to wrap it up. So go to russosbrand.com. You still got a free month if you sign
Scotty,
up now.
Hit me up if you need to, honey. You know where to find me.
$3.95 a month after that. But first month is free right now. And we just had the best week as far as subscribers go, according to the Realm guys, Mark and whoever else is over there. I only talked to Mark. But Vince tweeted out that because of Eric Bischoff, one of Vince's constant haters, talking about the brand and Vince for, I don't know, I think they said like a half hour, he gave us huge numbers. He bumped us up. So,
That's amazing.
The more
Thanks
people hate, the more positives for the brand. So fuck you, Eric Bischoff, but thank you for the support of getting us more people.
Yes.
So go to the brand, russosbrand.com, and go subscribe. Opie Radio, we love the Opster.
We do love Opster.
We were actually talking about him a little bit today, so... That's it. Go to opiradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I like to use Spotify and get the OP Radio podcast. Also, he had a two-parter with Pat Duffy last week. It's a great listen. Pat Duffy was an intern. There's a video on YouTube if you want to get an idea of who Pat Duffy is. It's called Opie and Anthony, the Baby Bird Video. I'm not going to describe it here. I just want you to go into it blind. I promise you it is 100% real, and it is fucking incredible. There's a bunch of videos of Pat Duffy, but this is the one that really put him on the map. So go to Opie Radio, wherever you get your podcast. Check it out and go search out that YouTube video. Again, it's Opie and Anthony Baby Bird video. StatementGames.com. Go to Statement Games. Go sign up. It's free. Place your prop bets. You can win real prizes. You can pay to play, but you don't have to. So go to StatementGames.com and go try to win yourself some prizes. That's it, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.